Drupal Voices is a series of interviews with people contributing to the Drupal community. Brought to you by the 2011 Do It With Drupal Conference. This year's event takes place October 12th, 13th, and 14th in Brooklyn, New York. Come get practical advice and learn the site-building strategies of Drupal's top developers and hear from experts in emerging technologies such as IPTV and mobile app development. For more information and registration rates, visit doitwithdrupal.com.
I'm Pat Tellier. I work for Palantir.net. I worked with Larry Garfield and Jen Simmons to make the DrupalCon app. We built it on top of Appcelerator Titanium framework so that we could write JavaScript and hopefully deploy it to both Android and iPhone. It was a little bit more difficult than that sounds. We put lots of hours into it. But in the end, it was well worth it. Everybody was actually really enjoying our app, so pretty pleased with that.
So, yeah, talk about that process of, like, is this jQuery JavaScript or is it regular JavaScript? And then, like, you know, usually if you're writing native apps, you're writing either Objective-C or whatever the Android app language is. But, yeah. You know, talk about that process and the workflow.
Well, the process was you write entirely in JavaScript on top of an API built by the Appcelerator team. That API allows you to write things such as write a row, and it looks like a row normally does on an iPhone, or like a row in Android would normally look once it gets to the phone. As I understand it, there's a JavaScript compiler that's put into each application package, and then that actually turns things into the native code, well, into the native UI elements once it's actually on the phone. So what that means to developers is that you write in JavaScript. And you learn a new API, which is not all that extensive, but you learn a new API to be able to do things like talk to the SQLite database or to create a row or to push an image or whatever. In reality, what we ran into was that there's a lot of things that are very iPhone specific, like you don't have a menu in an iPhone, but you do on Android. And so there's certain things that you have to work around no matter what you're doing, but it does allow you to very rapidly put together a pretty good app. We started about 2.5 months ago, so that's not too bad.
And so there's other systems out there like PhoneGap where you design like an XHTML and a CSS and JavaScript, and then that sort of also converts it into like applications. So like talk about like why did you decide to go with this framework, and if you evaluated some of these other solutions that are out there.
We did. We evaluated a couple of them, and we ended up going with Appcelerator because it actually compiled to native. So when you install the iPhone app, it's an iPhone app. It's not an HTML page showing in a browser with JavaScript and CSS simulating the UI. It's actually UI elements that Apple made after they studied and spent money on getting those UI elements correct. We figured it's probably best to stick with as close to, you know, the baseline as possible with that. So you don't see a lot of embellishments in this app. You're not going to see a lot of graphical enhancements to the UI because we figured they spent the time and money to figure that out. We're going to leave it as is. Plus, people expect things to look like Android on Android. They want it to look like iPhone on iPhone. And you don't get that when you do a PhoneGap. You do, if you get Sencha Touch or jQuery UI, it looks like just that. So you get an iPhone experience on the Android, and that didn't make a lot of sense to us. Plus, when we were looking at it, Android still had a lot of 1.6 users. That didn't work real well for the whole SQLite database layer because it wasn't stable at that point. And Titanium actually solved that. It allowed us to use Titanium's SQLite instance rather than the one built into WebKit.
I see. And so is there any sort of communication that's happening with the Drupal site? I know there's like a tweet stream, but I'm just curious as in terms of like how this is like integrating with the Drupal site.
Well, we initially started by trying to use services. And then we realized that some of the things that we really wanted to put into the app, we were not going to have time for, like the add this button. Things that would actually require user authentication weren't going to happen. So we stopped on the services module. And I had an idea while we were brainstorming that views would actually output exactly what we needed. So what we ended up doing is we ended up writing particular views and outputting to views data source module to give us JSON that we could then pull from the app as needed to output our node information, our user information. The tweet feed is directly from Twitter, but everything else is straight from our app. Except, well, we did bundle a whole bunch of this initially into a SQLite database, and all the avatars for the pictures and everything are all bundled into the app, so you don't have to load that on the first open. But yeah, everything comes from JSON, from views.
So you have a website, the DrupalCon, and you have all these lists and all the data. And so what you're saying is that you put that into a views, and then you export it like as a views display of a type of data object that's then creating the JSON. And then how do you input that in like to the process of writing the application?
AppCelerator actually does an XHR request and pulls it, and it parses the JSON object. And then we put that into our SQLite database in an update function. I mean, it's there initially, and we built it using the tools that we used to pull it initially. So it's all just parsed right in the app.
And so is this dynamically updating, or if you're offline, it's just going to take whatever the last updates of, but if you needed to push out updates to all the apps, then you can do that, is what you're saying?
There's no sort of push notification. We can't, AppCelerator wouldn't allow us to do that on the Android side of things, so we made an update function instead. So in the app, you could actually go to the About page, and on the Android, you could hit your menu button and click update. And it would say updating sessions and such, which is just us making an asynchronous call to the Drupal.org site, hitting that view, pulling the JSON object back, and then repopulating the database. Well, with whatever had changed. We did base it on created or last changed date.
In terms of like the different screen sizes from like Android, and in particular like Android, and not so much like not as so much iPhone or iPads, because they have pretty thick.
Something there too. For the most part, we basically said take the width of whatever it is and just fill it up. There was some attention needed to be paid. Jen Simmons was very particular. She's a very big fan of the iPhone. So she got us going on the route of using the Retina display, doubling for all the graphics. So if you open this up on iPhone 4, it looks gorgeous. It's very sharp. Strangely, the iPad doesn't use the doubling when you 2X, but it looks okay on that too. Some of the problems that we ran into after we published the Android is that we noticed that the opening screen looks squished on some things, and it looks perfect on others because there's like 8 different screen sizes for Android, and we didn't take that into account. But that's only the opening page. Everything else seems to expand quite correctly.
So how did you, in terms of the design of like working around all those different screen sizes, did you have any sort of special considerations?
Nothing special. We just decided to answer that whole problem by saying use the width. Use as much space as you have. And we push everything over to the left and the right, and it expands in the middle, just like, you know, CSS would with 100% width or whatever.
A lot of the sort of attraction of using the native app is to use a lot of the geolocation and also the other things that you wouldn't necessarily have available to like on a PC. So maybe talk about like if you're using this type of workflow in order to build an app, like what are the things that you cannot include functionality-wise on that other native apps may have?
Actually, you can touch most of those things. You can hit geolocation. You can touch the accelerometer, you can get into contacts if you need to. All these things are permissions-based, so when somebody installs the app, they have to say, yes, I give it permission to use my camera or hit the network or look at my contacts. But yeah, AppCelerator actually makes it possible to get down to the nitty-gritty of all the phone systems. Some things are Android-only, some things are iPhone-only. Like push notifications, you can do on the iPhone. You can do on Android, as far as I know. I'm not the ultimate authority on this, but from what I saw, some things are only possible one or the other. But you can get to the base OSs through the Titanium API. I mean, that's what it's made for. Otherwise, if we weren't trying to get to any of those things, if we didn't need to use native UI elements or get to geolocation, then yeah, PhoneGap would make a lot of sense.
Cool. And finally, maybe you could talk about some of the other Drupal modules that you used in the process of like creating this application, or you know, in order to tightly integrate it.
I'd like to say we used a lot of them, but we really didn't. We used Views Data Source. We did initially use services, and that's still built into the app. We're just not actually utilizing it now for user authentication. And we did modify actually Drupal.org or the DrupalCon site a little bit on the registration page and on the feedback form to allow us to use media queries to slim that down when you're on a phone. Because for that portion of the app, we're going directly to the site. Other than that, there wasn't a lot needed from Drupal other than the data, and that we got through Views Data Source. So that's pretty much it.
Okay, well, great. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks.